Okay, welcome to the Bitcoin Gauntlet. Today we have Ben Werman, and he's going to be the first contestant on the Bitcoin Gauntlet. How you doing, Ben?
I'm ready. I'm sweating. I'm excited. I'm first one up. That's a tall order. Let's do this.
All right. For our listeners, you want to give a quick intro on your background and what you do?
Yeah, sure, man. So I have my own podcast, just my name, Ben Werman Podcast. I big Nostr fan like you are as well, big Bitcoin fan, big Carnivore fan, all that good stuff. And just loving the content creation. I love seeing more new podcasts come out. We were just talking about this before we started recording how this is such a fun idea. I really love it. It's a different take on just the Bitcoin podcast where there's a little bit of a challenge involved. It's kind of a game people can come play. So I'm really excited for your launch here and stoked to be a part of the very beginning.
All right. So for our listeners, the way this is going to work is Ben will get to pick from one of three topics in each round. And then after he picks a topic, he'll get three different prompts to choose from. And then he can argue in the affirmative or the negative for each choice. I'll let Ben do hopefully most of the talking. And I may have some follow-up questions. I'll try and steel man the other side. And these prompts are designed to be maximally divisive. So hopefully they're able to, you could pick either side, and this is a way for us to flesh out some hopefully rather contentious issues in Bitcoin. So
I'm
Ben.
not one to shy away from ruffling feathers, so let's do this.
I'm familiar, yes.
Did you read those Choose Your Own Adventure books when you were a kid? Because I definitely read those, and this is exactly what this looks like to me, which is
Yeah,
amazing.
for sure. Yeah.
Excellent. I love it. It's been a while since I've done one. This is the first time since I was probably in elementary school or middle school.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All right. So let's do it. So round one, I'll read them off here for the listeners. We have Austrian Economics 1, meaning there will be an Austrian Economics 2 later. So if you don't want to pick it now, you can try it again. Mining or Bitcoin culture?
Bitcoin culture, for sure.
All right, Bitcoin culture. So the three prompts are: toxicity is a net benefit for Bitcoin. Two, Bitcoiners are better off not telling anyone they're involved with or hold Bitcoin, i.e., they are Bitcoiners. Or three, Bitcoin needs more Bitcoin podcasts.
Close between number one and number two. I think I'm going to go for number one because I. And that is toxicity is a net benefit for Bitcoin. I'm going to take the affirmative on that.
All right.
Should I just go off
Yeah,
on why?
go
Okay,
for it.
sweet.
Make your case.
So yeah, I think that Bitcoiners, the type of people that you see in Bitcoin are the type of people that are just not afraid to tell the whole truth and take whatever flack they may for it. And it's very much a relief for people to find that, especially after all of the clown worldishness that p we see going on out there as people find their way into Bitcoin as this community that really cares about soundness and reality. It's like a safe space for unsafe speaking, I guess you could say. And I think that it really just provides a great arena where people can really throw their beliefs into the fray and see if it stands up against like true fighting, I guess, like verbal clashing. And I am definitely, if anyone who follows me knows that I love doing that. I love to just get the most controversial things possible and throw them out there. Sometimes I'll even do so when I don't have a strong take, but I'll sort of just lob it in there and people will immediately assume that I believe it. They get mad at me. And to me, it's just anytime that you can create these like fiery conversations is what I think social media is so awesome for, and especially Nostr, as you know, because this now gives us a place where we don't have to worry about getting banned by some shadowy arbiter in the background telling us that, oh, that's a topic we can't talk about. You can talk about whatever the fuck you want. And it's beautiful. And you also get Bitcoin for providing value for people, and that value could be just having an interesting take or maybe a controversial take. Like I definitely send zaps to people who just really get out there and just say something crazy. I may not even agree with it, but I respect that they're pushing the boundaries. So I think that that's why I think that being controversial, being toxic is a very good thing. We need more of it. And if you are standing on sound ideas, then you're going to be just fine because you have actual backing behind those claims. And if you don't, if you're just being toxic for the sake of being toxic and your argument is garbage, then it will be exposed in the public arena. And then that will help everyone regardless that's watching that, and they will still gain value from the interaction. So always a good thing. That's my take.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. What would you say to people who would say that perhaps being toxic to the shitcoiners and all the scammers maybe gives them the outsiders, the non-coiners or the pre-coiners, it gives them a unsavory taste about Bitcoiners and maybe turns them off a little bit from Bitcoin?
That's a great point. I think that definitely would be, if I were told to steel man this thing, that would be what I would say, is that some of the newcomers would be turned off by like this aggressive way that we speak. But I would say overall, that meme comes to mind of the lion and the sheep, and the caption is, "We're not here to awaken the sheep, we're here to awaken the sleeping lions." That's one of my favorite memes ever because I think it's so true. And the people who are out there, who they're, just a growing number of these people who are really primed to quote unquote wake up from the fiat world nonsense that we see. And by, bringing, if we, I really think that just bringing as many people as possible into this Bitcoin, zeitgeist as possible is good, because then those that are soft and weak will get weeded out, and that's fine. But the lions will remain standing and they'll join a community, and Bitcoin will become stronger for it. And so I really think that overall, we're not everyone's going to stay when they, see Saifedean just tearing someone to shreds in Twitter comments. But someone like myself, who saw that, and I always give Saifedean credit for multiple rabbit holes I've been through. He played a big part in the Bitcoin one, as anyone who's read the Bitcoin Standard knows, and also the Carnivore one. I saw him, in a Twitter fight with some guy who said, "Fruit is good for you. It has all these nutrients." And Saifedean's like, "No, it's just sugar, bro." And basically just like laying out this whole case. And as an onlooker, he has like what, 300,000 followers. So a lot of people will just naturally see these conversations and come to their own conclusions. And as just an onlooker, I'm sort of reading through this thread and just thinking like, man, Saifedean is just having stronger points than this guy. Like, this sounds crazy. Like, of course, fruit is good for you, but I mean, it's interesting. So it sort of awakens people that are meant to be awakened, who are ready to be awakened, and will be the stronger warriors of truth in the future. So I still think it's all good.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you familiar with the concept of the remnant? Are you familiar with that piece?
I know that Alex Svetsky, our friend who I've had on a podcast before, has a really good series, Bitcoiners of the Remnant, and that's a great one to bring up. That's a great like long form case for exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that
Highly
like I,
recommend.
yeah, absolutely. I love that piece. By Albert J. Nock, I think it's by like speak the truth and the remnant will hear. Speak to those who can hear, kind of thing. So, yeah. All right. So let's move on to round two. We have adoption, network slash consensus, or miscellaneous one. There will be a miscellaneous two.
I gotta go with miscellaneous. Like, I love the mystery.
All
Let's see what happens. Let's
right.
take a roll at the mystery box.
Okay. The grab bag here. All right. Miscellaneous number one. Hardware wallets will always be niche devices. Number two, the biggest impediment to understanding Bitcoin is Stockholm syndrome. Or three, stablecoins on Lightning Network will lead to a contentious hard fork.
I'm too dumb for these, dude. No,
Well, since this is the first round, I forgot to mention
great.
in the pre-recording. We could, I'll give you a mulligan if these are
No, it's
if you
we're
need
gonna go
to
with
try
something
one of the
here.
other
I'm not
categories.
going. There's no going back now. This I chose my door. We're walking straight through it. But yeah. So I would say these are actually really good questions. I think that. Which one should I do here? I mean, there's a lot of like opinion here that I just haven't really put a lot of thought into. So we'll just go into one and just see what happens. I'm going to say for the hardware wallets will always be niche devices. That's an interesting one because I do think that I'll just pick that one for now. I think that there's going to be so many different ways that people custody their Bitcoin in the future. I don't think it's always going to be like a cold card type physical device. And we know that so many people, and especially younger people, are getting more toward, everything being digitalized and they're not so caught up on these physical things. So I think it'll be really interesting to see like what will happen when you have this, OG Bitcoiner base who really believes, in these perfect storage practices and like the, doing the air gapped everything and like ha do the entropy rolling the dice and everything with these people who just want, who actually do want some convenience where you have to make trade-offs. So, I don't have a really strong stance on what I think will happen. It will be interesting to watch. I guess if I were forced to make a choice, I would say I would lean toward yes. I don't think in the future there will be like, billions of people walking around or storing cold cards under their floorboards. I think that there's going to be different sorts of storage practices that sort of come up as alternatives. There's going to be this big, crazy market full of them. Like, some people will have their hardware wallet. Some people will, use airplane mode on their phone, use digital wallet. Some people will, of course, just keep it on exchange. And some people will, the whole spectrum of like good to bad of just like in terms of security. But a big player, I think, that will affect this will be how much of a fight does the state put up against it? Because if we see the state sort of bend the knee to Bitcoin, as one could say right now in 2025, we're watching what I believe to be that direction where, Trump and all of them are, talking about these Bitcoin strategic reserve and all this stuff. It doesn't sound like they're trying to like attack or stop Bitcoin. They're kind of saying, oh, we can't stop this thing. We might as well like cave into it. And what this means for these options of storage is that maybe we won't have to worry so much about being like super ultra secure about everything perfectly all the time, like the OGs have sort of, adopted, because there won't be as big of an attacking force. We've already, the baby's gotten out of the cradle and it's not going back in, so there won't be that much pressure. Now, I guess that's kind of where I would start with that. I would lean toward, things are looking good, and the fact that there's not going to be like some crazy war on Bitcoin where they're sending, the National Guard at everyone's door trying to search for their little calculator. I don't see that happening. I think that and which is a good thing. I feel good that that's not, a high likelihood at this point, as far as I can tell. So I'm going to lean toward, there's going to be more of an open market of a lot of different types of storage. Long answer, but I hope I sort of answered it.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. The convenience aspect is definitely a big factor. If we want to have billions of users, obviously given the limitations of the UTXO set, many people will be using semi-custodial services like Beti and Cashew and whatever other layer two solutions are for.
Multi-sig is like a lot of people are going into multi-sig. Like there's a lot of different options out there, and business is sort of coming out to foster to these people. So
I think moving to probably more mobile wallets seems kind of obvious as more of the world comes online and more of the world adopts smartphones too. Seems like kind of the logical path forward. So, all right, let's go to round three. I think I know which one you might pick here, but we'll do it anyway.
I know which one I'm picking. Go ahead and let the audience hear the options, though.
So the options are protocol upgrades, political philosophy, and Noster.
Noster, let's
Yep,
go.
that's what I expected. All right. So Noster, number one, Noster helps Bitcoin more than Bitcoin helps Noster. Number two, Noster will fall into the same centralization trend or trap as email and today's social media sites. Or number three, Noster keys need easier backups, authentication, rotation, etc., before Noster can go mainstream.
I'm going to go with number one. Noster helps Bitcoin more than Bitcoin helps Noster. And I'm going to go with the affirmative there. And you can make a case for both of these, which is why it's a good question. And I enjoy exploring this. But I think that, I mean, Bitcoin is, what is it, 16 years old now? And it's sort of cranking along. It's just doing its thing. TikTok, next block. It's like it's a freight train. It's just chugging along. It's moving. It's doing its thing. Like, I think that Nostra is going to help people find that train and get onto it. Whereas, like, the freight train itself, it doesn't have like a lot of power to like ping you off in other directions to learn about other. Well, actually, I shouldn't even say that because it does. I think let me reset this. Nostra is a communication protocol. It's where people talk about things. It's where like discussion is happening. I think that naturally, a place that is based on like discussion and free speech as its core value is going to be the ultimate hub of, sending people in different directions where they will learn new things. And I think that even more than Bitcoin, it will help do that. It also gives new users a taste of what Bitcoin can do through Lightning. When you get zapped for the first time, it's feels amazing. You can just see that you earn real money for posting a meme. And for a lot of people, that's a completely new experience. They always think that there's all these different obstacles for, getting paid for your content. And that shows how easy it is. You just set up a wallet and people will just click the Lightning button and you're paid. And so this has completely changed how so many people are using social media now and will continue to do so if people fall into it. And I think it's just the perfect on-ramp to Bitcoin. And I love the argument and the discussion that people always have about whether, Bitcoin is a store of value or a medium of exchange. People are always arguing this, like, oh, we shouldn't call it a store of value because, we need to be spending it more. If you're not spending your Bitcoin, you're not a real Bitcoiner. You need to be like injecting your value into the economy and yada, yada, yada. I think that Noster is, I tend to side with the store of value people because I love the case that people like Vijay Boyapati lays out in his article, The Bullish Case for Bitcoin, which is essentially that there is a natural progression that money goes through where first it's a store of value, people hoard it and they hold on to it and they don't spend it because they know it has a lot of upside in front of it as a money. And then later on, once that upside, the S curve goes and does its thing, it will eventually taper off among the top. And then naturally, people will be more willing to spend it because there's less upside ahead. And the medium of exchange will then happen naturally. However, I can also see the case of people say, like, we should be doing more transactions right now just to get more people on board as a means of like bringing more people into the ecosystem with small businesses and whatnot. So when people, get their local business, their local steakhouse or whatever set up with a Bitcoin wallet so you can pay them, that's the type of thing where I'm like, absolutely, I would love to go, buy this steak with Bitcoin so I can get these people on board. And so it's a the medium of exchange aspect is a powerful tool to sort of spread that base out of the early adopters, which we are still definitely a part of. And so, but yeah, bringing it back to Nostr, the original question, like Nostr, it sort of brings all that stuff together. People can just create an account and then they are instantly able to participate in this Lightning economy where, people are just throwing value at each other and it's super easy. And it really gets them thinking about money in a different way when they join us. And you see this all the time. You see the new users using this. And I've helped onboard new users who I very much wouldn't talk to them about Bitcoin right out of the gate. Like artists, for example, like, people who have the stereotypical artist brain, they're more socially wired. They like sharing things. They like getting paid for their art. And so I get them on an Oster. And all of a sudden, they can see that, people are just zapping them for the art that they're posting. And it's also a place where they can sell their art. And oh, by the way, you can't be deplatformed if you have some, controversial art. So you can post whatever you want there. And it just opens up all these different possibilities. And that leads them toward Bitcoin, which is in that same ethos of fuck you money to go along with the fuck you social media. And I would say that Nostr is. It does help Bitcoin more than Bitcoin helps Nostr in that way.
Yeah, I co-sign all that. I also like that Noster and Lynn Alden talks about this a lot, that Noster makes a kind of public list recreates a kind of Venmo where you can just zap someone. What, you know, when these Bitcoiners go out to these beefsteaks or these dinners or whatever, you can just look them up on Nostr and zap them there directly. You don't have to ask them for an invoice or anything like that. You could just
And
go. You
I've
don't have.
used this. This is amazing. And I can actually pull a couple of the examples I just brought out together. So, speaking of like the stereotypical artist friends, another type of person I meet a lot of right now as I'm traveling, I'm in Bariloche, Argentina right now, just digital nomading. And one of the stories I love sharing is when I was back in Mexico, the last place I was staying, I was in this really cool sort of long-term hostel for like a month and just got to know the people in there really well. None of them are, Bitcoin type people. They're like travelers, they're artists, they're, yogis and, that sort of stereotype of the free-flowing souls, whatever. And so I'm not going to talk about Bitcoin with them, but I will. It's really easy to introduce Nostr to those types of people because all I had to say was, hey, we owe each other money for these random things all the time. Like we're buying each other dinner, we're going out on this, the canyon tour, and we owe someone some money. And I just told them, like, look, it's such a pain in the ass to like deal with the ATMs here and like trade our currencies and just lose money through the exchange rate. Just whip up a Primal wallet and we'll use that instead within the house. We can just zap each other for all that stuff. And by the way, you can just earn money from the whole ecosystem from posting cool travel pictures. So I would help them like make a banger introductions post and you post some really cool pictures of their travels that they bet on because everyone there's traveling and they would earn some extra Bitcoin on top of it. And so that got a lot of the wheels turning for these people who are not, typical Bitcoin brains. And it was really cool to see. And a lot of them are still posting to this day. So it's really just a great, great thing to watch happen.
Yeah, it's great to see. The only thing I'll maybe add, which is a little bit above my pay grade, and I'll just give a quick TLDR, is I've heard some talk about how Nostr as a communication protocol can perhaps be used to make Bitcoin transaction communication more efficient. And that's about the extent of what I've heard. But just one example of how maybe there's more ways at which we can upgrade Bitcoin without maybe a soft fork, and Nostr might be one of those avenues we could use. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean that sort of big brain thinking is too big for my little pea brain, but it's super interesting. I mean, you know that Nostr gives you just so many like great signal providing traits where just having payments integrated and the completely free speech aspect, you know that you're going to get the best signal on there no matter what the situation is. Or and there's also people talking about how Nostr will be like the new internet. And that's like some very big brain stuff where people are talking about like this will literally be what the internet was supposed to be. And that's something that, I'd love to explore on my own podcast with, like you said, smarter people, because that's a big topic that I haven't really dug into. And I wasn't around as the internet was just starting. So I don't have that frame of reference that a lot of those OGs do. So a lot of fun to think about though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the low-hanging fruit there is DNS. DNS is super centralized and super vulnerable to censorship. We see domains taken down all the time. So that's one of the other things I've heard discussed on Nostr is remaking DNS with the Nostr protocol. So that's very exciting as well. All right, so let's move on to round four, final round. We have Austrian Economics 2. Regulation and miscellaneous too.
We're going to hit the Austrian economics this time. I passed it last time. Let's hit it.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Number one, Bitcoin prevents hyperinflation by gradually deflating the bond market. Number two, printing money does not, quote, stimulate the economy. Or number three, the total addressable market cap of Bitcoin is greater than half of current total global wealth, around $900 trillion.
This is a good one. I like these, dude. These are pretty challenging. I don't really usually cover these sorts of things like the macro style, so this is new territory for me. I would say it's tough between those first two. They're both good ones. I would say Let's go with printing money doesn't stimulate the economy. And I would say for this one, I mean, for listeners, before listening to a single word out of my dumb mouth, just go read the Bitcoin Standard because like Saifedean talks about all this stuff so well, including the bond stuff, much smarter than I can. I'm a lowly pleb, but let's do our best here. I mean, when you print money, you're not creating anything. You're not creating any actual real goods and services for the world. All it does is make that money less valuable in the market of goods. So the way that I always talk to people is just like the McDonald's example. You used to have the dollar menu and now it's what, like $8 menu or something. And I tell people, this is not because the Big Mac got 8 times more valuable. It's because your money got 8 times less valuable. And the reason why is because when you turn on the TV or look at the headlines on the news and you see how the US president is, printing billions of dollars for something, or it will, they won't say it like that. They'll never use the word printing. That makes it too obvious. They'll say, oh, we're passing a spending bill or something like that. So it sounds official and it doesn't get people asking questions. But what they're really doing is just printing money. They're creating it out of nothing. And when that money is created out of nothing, it dilutes the purchasing power of everyone else holding those dollars. So every time the government spends money on anything, they aren't actually spending their money, they're spending your money, but it shows up in the by way of your money losing value, which even more specifically shows everything else getting more expensive. All the stuff's getting more expensive, and a lot of us people in who are from America think that, oh, like we're the big bad USA, that won't happen to us. But of course it is. Anyone that's living there right now knows that everything's getting more expensive, and it is everywhere. And this is something that I see as a traveler. I talk to people from all over the place. And literally, it doesn't matter where people are from or where they come from, they always share the same story of like, yeah, I left home because things were just getting so expensive there. But everyone's home is getting more expensive. These folks don't really have like the big picture ideas as Bitcoin nerds do most of the time. It's just everything's getting more expensive because every single country has a government with a money printer and they print money. That's what they do. That's how they are able to get things out of nothing, is by stealing the wealth of their citizens through creating money out of nowhere. And this is what Bitcoin fixes. It completely removes that ability for them to do this, which is why it's so powerful. And I think one of the things that's the most relevant, especially right now, it seems like it's always relevant, but especially now, is what effect that has on war, because in the USA, like we just constantly have this bloodthirsty warmongering among the politicians. They always want to go to war because the military industrial complex is hungry. And we have, certain countries all over the world that we call our greatest ally who just basically send us all over the place to just blow up as many of their enemies as possible because they blackmailed our politicians. It's just a whole mess. It's a whole mess. It all comes down to the fact that we can create money out of nothing, or they can. And so we need to get rid of that ability altogether. And Bitcoin does that. So that's my answer for why printing money does not stimulate the economy. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all that. And this question, this topic is definitely a pet peeve of mine. I listen to loads and loads of Bitcoin podcasts, and I still hear this from time to time from different various macro Bitcoiners who maybe still have a little bit of Keynesianism left to purge from their system. And so, yeah, I definitely agree that stimulating printing money does, or what did I say? Printing money does not stimulate the economy. But if I had to
It
maybe,
just makes everybody poorer. You can't tell me that it's helping the economy when people can't fucking live. That's ridiculous.
so if I had to steelman this one just a little bit, I believe it's Milton Friedman gives the example of printing money is like consuming alcohol, that the good effects of alcohol come very quickly, and then the bad effects come later. So if I were to try and steelman some of these Bitcoin macro podcasters who tend to say this, they might say that injecting money allows for more investment, more production, by companies. So I don't know if you have any
I would
answer
say
for
just
that.
like generally, it gives you some ability to be more flexible in the short term. It allows you to, make these things happen quickly with the press of a button that wouldn't otherwise happen. But the problem is, it always comes, like you said, with effects later on. And right now, since all we have is, these buttons that they can just keep pressing, keep kicking the can forever, we just have this gigantic debt bomb that's just pushed further and further onto future generations. So now, babies are being born now with debt loads on them. Like, how evil is that? Like, because so many of these economists and politicians have decided that we're just going to keep pushing the bar tab down the road, down the road, down the road. And it's at this point, it's just they're going to keep kicking it until it explodes. And it's going to be a terrible time for a bunch of people who had nothing to do with the decisions that they made when they made them. So it's just like a very evil system overall. And yeah, it's there shouldn't be a way where you can just decide things that big where people other than you have to pay the consequences. I think that that is a big part of money, is that you have to pay the consequences if you decide to spend it on something, including at the state level. At every level, you should have to, make a sacrifice if you want to spend money. You have to sacrifice your money on the thing. If it's worth spending the money on, you can spend it. And this, can go to the broader societal scale, perhaps, like in cases, another example I like to tell people is how, back in the old, way old times when the two kingdoms would go to war with each other, they would both have their big pot of gold. And if they both really wanted to go to war, then they would use their gold to pay the soldiers. And that the war would go until one of them ran out of gold and couldn't pay the soldiers anymore. And then the soldiers would come home and they'd say, like, fuck you, I'm not doing this for free, I'm going home. And so that's a great way to have a cap on these sorts of things. And if there's a war that, people really, if that kingdom really wants to keep going to war, then they could pay taxes out of their own gold wallets at home to continue it going. But right now, that is no longer the case. We are, so the vast majority of people in, specifically America, I'll keep using that example, we do not want to be in these constant forever wars in the Middle East and Ukraine and everywhere else we can. And we have no say in that. Like, all the only choice that we get, which is a joke, is, we get to choose which puppet president gets to sit in a chair and get bossed around by the lobbyists. So it never really happens, and people never really get what they're promised, because all the politicians have to do is just make promises that sound better than the other guy, and they get in, and then they can immediately stab their voters in the back. It doesn't really mean anything anymore. And those financial incentives and the lobbyist incentives always take them over. And so I think that just looking for a new leader to just do a better job is not worth our time. Instead, we just need to have a sounder foundational framework for which these people have to work within those bounds, and it will just be much better that way.
Yeah, as we say, fix the money, fix the world, right? So,
It's always true every time.
definitely. If you can't print the money, you can't go to war. Julian Assange has a famous little clip about how populations generally don't like war, and they have to be tricked into going into war. So, if you look at the past century or so of American history, in particular, every major conflict we've been in. Populations have been deceived into those wars, and they get tricked into printing the money to pay for that war. If populations had to pay taxes up front to fund the war, then perhaps we wouldn't have as much war. And I think that that's exactly what happened with Britain in World War One, that they had these bond auctions and they totally failed, and then so they had to just totally abandon the gold standard. Like all the countries in Europe and in America kind of went off the gold standard at the same time in order to fund that war. So.
Absolutely. And I completely agree that, human nature is not to, want to go commit violence on other people, especially not, on the other side of the world, like we are right now as an American country. It's just so, they really have to just propagandize everyone, which they can do a lot of because they have unlimited money to propagandize. They control all the media too, and they pay off all the celebrities. They have unlimited money. So whenever they have unlimited money, they can just continue to do all these sorts of tricks to trick people into thinking they want to have war and just go the psychological manipulation route, when naturally human beings do not want to hurt and kill each other. Like we are, people are cool, people are friendly, people are awesome. I meet people from all these different countries that were, they're involved in all these stupid conflicts, and all the people are cool. Like human beings are very cool when you don't have all these stupid incentives that are trying to push them into these more violent and evil directions, which sadly you can see that in people now. Like they don't even know sometimes when you talk to them that they are, speaking from like a neocon warmonger mindset, but they've just been filled with those ideas by the media and the TV and the government and the educational system, which lies to everyone, of course. And it's very, very deep how this fiat rot runs. But you got to start somewhere in fixing it. And I think that the best place to start is just completely eliminating the money printer that stops all of that craziness from permeating out through all of society. And I mean, what an exciting time to be alive where we get to see it happening right now and we get to be a part of making sure that happens. And a lot of people we love and associate ourselves with won't understand why we're so obsessed with this Bitcoin thing. Like they just think that we're trying to get rich or whatever. They're the sheep, like we said. Even some of the people that we love will end up in that sheep camp. We're going to find the sleeping lions out there. A lot of them are on Nostr and Bitcoin meetups and just the Bitcoin community in general. And just that's why it's worth it to continue fighting for this, even if people think you're crazy.
Absolutely. So I think we'll wrap up there. Well done on the gauntlet. Really enjoyed talking to you. And if you want to give the listeners a send off where they can find you and your work.
First, I know you said you weren't going to give a score system like the other guy did, but I need a score. Give me a score, dude. It can be any number. And this will be the benchmark for the rest of the show, by the way.
Yeah, we'll have to
The
make a
highest is the highest they can get. So choose a decently high number.
We'll have to
Yeah.
make a benchmark. Okay, so we have four rounds. Let's say, okay, four rounds. I'll give you a 16. I will go with 16.
That's a good number. I like that. Sounds good. Hey, four rounds. So out of four, right? Perfect. Love it.
Yeah.
Send off. Man, I think we got to cover a lot of cool stuff in this. And it was super cool to be here early on in this journey, my friend. And I remember one of the other questions that I guess I could sort of throw out there is, what was it? There can't be too many Bitcoin podcasts, right? I'm going to make the affirmative on that one. This is going to be my bonus question I pull out from the past that I didn't take before. But I will say to both you and the people listening who have been thinking about starting a podcast, I mean, this is such a great example of just a super clever, fun idea that our gauntlet guide here has put together for us. And there's so many creative ways to continue spreading this message of why Bitcoin and Nostr are so important for the world. And I will continue to say, as a podcaster myself, screw all the people that say there are too many, it's too saturated. I want the more people we can get in, the more the better. It's all going to continue accelerating this Bitcoin adoption, Nostr adoption, as well as the migration of the masses away from these corporate shill media and toward these independent creators who really care about getting good content and signal out there that helps people, helps real people. And I'm super excited to be a part of it. Super excited that you are now a part of it, my friends. And it was excellent being here. I really appreciate having me.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Take care.